Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Gryffindor Inman. Welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra, because you have been selected by the magical hat of Hogwarts and because of your support at patreon.com/jowen to get more info in your ears.
Yes.
Another Weasley.
That's funny. I forgot about that quote.
Okay, so Ashley, we're here. We're going to talk more about Dumbledore. Man, we went down some deep fan theories here. I thought it was very interesting. What are we going to talk about on Geek History Lesson Extra?
We are going to talk about Dumbledore and other magical mentors.
Okay, specifically magical mentors.
Yes, because Dumbledore definitely filled a very specific literary archetype, and that is that of a magical mentor, which is... somebody with a specific set of abilities who's usually quite aged, and we're going to see how he stacks up against some other people who do the same thing. Now, we can stack up whether we think he's more powerful, whether we think he's a better mentor. There's a lot, I think, of interesting fertile ground to be tilled here.
Okay, so let's start it off.
So my first question is, who do you think is a better mentor, Dumbledore or Merlin? Because Merlin is kind of the prototypical magical mentor. Every other magical wizardy guy is derived from him.
It's also interesting they all have white beards.
Yeah, they're all white guys with white beards and pointy hats.
I think Merlin.
You're going classic Merlin?
I mean, what other versions of Merlin? I mean, can I pick Sam Neill Merlin?
Sure, you can specify whichever Merlin you want.
Merlin is Merlin to me. I don't care which version we take. I mean, because there's also Stargate Merlin. So,
well, Stargate Merlin, that's a whole other can of worms.
I mean, he doesn't even have superpowers. He just uses technology. So I'm just going to go with this classic Merlin, whatever. I don't want to do distinction. It's too many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Merlin's better than Dumbledore.
You think he's a better mentor? Do you think he's more powerful?
Yes, mm-hmm. I think Merlin, I think Merlin's more powerful. I think he's a better mentor because Dumbledore's kind of a crappy mentor. He was like, yeah, this, I can let my student die.
Mm-hmm.
And Merlin did everything he can to make sure that Arthur wouldn't die.
And Merlin also, he built a kingdom. They founded England, mm-hmm. According to the mythology.
Yeah, Merlin also lives his life backwards.
He does. That's true.
That's another thing you have to take into account. So, Merlin is sad from Arthur's death. I kind of get the feeling Dumbledore didn't really care if Harry died or not. And that's kind of crappy.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I will say an interesting thing about Dumbledore's character is he does start out as kind of your, crazy magical uncle.
Yeah.
And he sort of descends into, sort of a cold. He becomes very cold over the course of Harry Potter, and he gets more emotionally detached as they go along.
I mean, I know they did that weird chapter in the 7th Harry Potter book, Harry Potter, and we still are running around the woods a lot, where he talks to Dumbledore in the afterlife.
And there's a crying baby underneath their chair. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was supposed to be this thing like, oh, Harry, I love you. And it was okay. But that never did anything for me.
I agree.
I don't think Dumbledore gave a damn about Harry at the end. And that to me was sort of the revelation of the 7th book and of all the secrets of Dumbledore, was that Harry loved Dumbledore.
He did.
Loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, a boy who doesn't have a father is always going to be looking for a father figure. That's sort of the male,
But I mean, that's Harry's entire journey. He does it with Remus. He does that with Sirius. He does that with Arthur Weasley.
Yes.
he's looking even more than for a mother. He's looking for a father.
He's looking for a father. And Dumbledore was essentially his father. And I mean, to me, kind of the 7th book is you find out my dad wasn't that great. And then also my dad didn't really love me.
They really do, too, in the 6th and 7th book, they really paint James Potter to be a massive dick, too.
Yeah, he's not that great of a dude. He's kind of an asshole.
Even though we're told, we have characters tell him how great James is in the first half of that series as well, which is an interesting dichotomy there.
All right.
All right, so let's do the really obvious comparison in literature and in movies that were coming out at the time. Albus Dumbledore or Gandalf, either the gray or the white, your choice. Answerer's choice.
I mean, just because of a Geek History lesson, and we did a lesson on Gandalf, which mm-hmm. you can go back and listen to, I think that Gandalf is more powerful simply for the fact that Gandalf seems like he's a god.
I mean, he's sort of Middle Earth Jesus.
He is. He seems like he's a god.
Mm-hmm.
Dumbledore, by the way, did not come back from the dead. Gandalf did.
Yes, he did. He came back more powerful.
So
than the dead.
That to me is enough. It is. Also, at the end of the day, every magic user in Harry Potter needs a wand.
Mm-hmm.
And Gandalf don't need no damn stick.
He has a staff, though.
But he doesn't need it.
You're right. He doesn't need it, but he can do magic. He has a really good battery in it.
He can do magic without that staff, and they show that. Like,
mm-hmm.
So he doesn't need a staff. His staff was broken at the end of the movie, and he still could do magic.
Yes.
So whereas you snap a wizard's wand, they're useless.
They're fairly useless. I will counter this, though. You knocked Dumbledore against Merlin for sending Harry to his death. Gandalf kind of does the same thing with Frodo. And then Sam, by proxy, like, Frodo knows going into that quest, although Harry doesn't know. Frodo knows he's going to die.
And Gandalf knows he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the difference is that Dumbledore was just like, okay, Harry, march off to your death, and that's what's going to happen. Gandalf was like, okay, he's probably going to die. Frodo's probably going to die. But I'm going to do everything I can to try to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm gonna distract the armies. I'm gonna, like, run around Rohan. I'm gonna send this new king to Gondor, and then I'm gonna take some eagles, and I'm just gonna go look, because there's a possibility that maybe he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it did work. He did save Frodo. Whereas, like, Harry just kind of lives just because he does.
Interesting.
Because of luck.
He lives by the power of
Frodo
love.
Lives because of Gandalf.
Yes.
Gandalf is the only reason. Yes, he did send him off to his death, but mm-hmm. Gandalf saves him.
But he does, and like I said, he does tell Frodo, like, you're probably going to die.
Oh, yeah.
And Frodo does choose to accept that. Harry's never given that choice until literally that scene where they're in heaven or whatever.
And again, I think that's another reason why Gandalf's better, because he gives him the choice.
Okay. I'm going to throw this out to you. This is a character that I know you are quite fond of. Albus Dumbledore or Obi-Wan Kenobi? Not the same kind of magic, but definitely still magic.
I mean, I honestly think that Dumbledore is more powerful.
Really?
I do, because Jedis are very limited. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jedis are as powerful as everybody thinks they are.
There are something I really like about the Star Wars universe is there are very strict rules and regulations to the Force and Force wielders.
Yeah, I mean, kind of in until The Force Awakens, where they revealed this weird telepathy power that we'd never seen before.
Yeah.
I kind of think that the Force is basically just telekinesis. Like, think about it.
I never thought about it.
It's basically
like
telekinesis.
Before.
Think about it. Yes, you can connect to other people. You can see visions of the future and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you think about the Emperor's powers of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
That literally is just pushing the air molecules fast enough that they ignite.
That's fascinating.
But otherwise, the Jedi's powers are just various forms of telekinesis.
Man, you've just, like, blown my mind.
Right? Because you only run faster because you can push yourself faster. You can levitate. Like, the most common force power we see is levitating objects.
Yes.
Or pushing people.
Or pushing people. Yeah, you're right.
It's telekinesis.
Okay, well, how about, let's go up to Obi-Wan's mentor. Do you think Qui-Gon Jinn could be more powerful?
No, I always thought Obi-Wan is more powerful than Qui-Gon.
Oh, you think so?
100%.
Okay, so then
Qui-Gon is no match for Obi-Wan.
For like, Alec Guinness level Obi-Wan?
No, I would say Ewan McGregor at the end of episode 3. Like, oh, you got to put Obi-Wan in his prime. Alec Guinness is a little bit slower because he's an old man.
But he has more knowledge behind him.
But here's the thing. Well, no, here's... And I don't want to make this a Qui-Gon versus
that's
Obi-Wan
fine,
discussion.
That's fine.
Qui-Gon's more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan's more real world.
Fair. That's cool.
Obi-Wan fought a war. Qui-Gon never fought a war.
Yeah. He's all meditation all the time.
You have to consider... There's an interesting thing in the Star Wars universe that the Jedis post the Clone Wars
mm-hmm.
are very different Jedis from pre-Clone Wars. Because pre-Clone Wars, the universe had kind of been in peace for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Jedis had had skirmishes
mm-hmm.
and maybe fought in a battle here and there, but Jedis had never fought for 3 solid years.
No, I mean, there were a lot of little skirmishes, which in our Jedi lesson we definitely went into, but they were mostly planetary based.
Yes.
They weren't like the whole galaxy.
And that's the reason why I give the edge to Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan coming out of that Clone Wars is a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is way over succeeded. Also, you have to go to the thing that Qui-Gon was taken down by Darth Maul, who Obi-Wan as a Padawan took down.
Yes, that is so, that's true.
You also have to take over from that. The tougher thing about Dumbledore is that Dumbledore, this wand, has more variety mm-hmm. of abilities.
Also, there's potions that you could take into consideration.
He can do like almost anything with his wand as long as he has with his wand. Like it's a magic eraser of powers. Obi-Wan has telekinesis.
And a laser sword.
And a laser sword. That's all he's got. And his wits. Now, here's my caveat to that.
Okay.
So I think Dumbledore with his wand does take out Obi-Wan Kenobi. I hate to say it, but I think it's true.
That's okay.
Just the variety is a thing. He can suck out his air. There's a bunch of stuff that Obi-Wan can't do that Dumbledore can. Take away both their powers. No force.
Mm-hmm.
Give Dumbledore a sword. Give Obi-Wan a sword or a lightsaber.
Sure.
And Obi-Wan kicks his ass with no problem.
But Dumbledore, more than I would say any of these characters, is a pretty...
cerebral,
non-violent, non-combative. Because I mean, even Merlin, even Gandalf are they're warriors. They're sword wielders. Mm-hmm. In addition to being magic wielders,
I will also say too. At the end of the day, Obi-Wan does love Luke.
And you don't know if Dumbledore loves Harry?
I don't think Dumbledore loves Harry. I've never gotten that impression.
I will agree with that. I know someone's going to yell at us on the internet.
They probably will and come at us. I don't care. Obi-Wan loves Luke.
And I think he loves Anakin, too.
Yes. And that's the reason why he loves Luke.
Yeah.
Because he puts all his feelings of Anakin onto Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Obi-Wan loves Luke. The only mistake that Obi-Wan made was that Obi-Wan didn't tell him
mm-hmm.
at the very beginning. But at the same time, like, I've kind of wrestled with that decision. It's kind of the same thing like Dumbledore not telling Harry, you're going to go die.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that all these wizard characters don't tell their younger people about a secret? They always keep something hidden.
You know, I will say that I think that's the creators projecting their childhood feelings about their parents, being like, I'll tell you when you're older, onto you.
But I also think that Obi-Wan was in the right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you tell that kid that? You can't.
But you feel like Dumbledore was in the wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
Because Dumbledore was using Harry like a pawn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan was protecting Luke's feelings.
And his allegiance to the Force.
Well, yes, because Obi-Wan knew that if he told Luke, Luke would never become a Jedi.
Yeah.
And they needed Luke to become a Jedi. I also could put it as, again, Force users can see the future.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Obi-Wan was like, this is the only way this future happens if I have to lie to him.
Interesting.
Also, even though it's a stupid line, I do always love Obi-Wan's lines in the third movie where Luke's like, you didn't tell me that. And he's like, well, what I did tell you, that it was true from a certain point of view.
Yeah.
Because he says that Darth Vader killed his father, which is sort of true.
It's true, yeah.
You know?
In a weird, abstract, kind of metatextual way.
Yes.
Yes.
So, like, even in that respect, I'm kind of like, I give the edge in terms of mentoring
mm-hmm.
to Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Obi-Wan's the better mentor.
But Dumbledore's the more powerful magic user.
If they had to go down, Dumbledore takes him down. I'm sorry. I mean, Dumbledore can, like, sploosh him in water.
Yeah.
And what the fuck can Obi-Wan do?
Okay, I have one more to ask you.
Okay.
Dumbledore or Uncle Iroh from Avatar? I mean, he's a magical mentor. He fits all of the skills. He's got a beard. He talks in cryptic riddles. He's raising somebody with
from power. Avatar, the last bender. Airbender.
Yeah, with a power set who could go good or bad.
I mean, I think this is a similar to Obi-Wan. At the end of the day, Iroh only has flame powers.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, Iroh only has flame powers. Dumbledore can do anything he wants with that wand.
Do you think, okay, then let me change it. Do you think Aang, the Avatar, could take down? Because Avatars have spirit powers, too.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, if we change it, okay.
I'll revise it. Who cares?
Dumbledore takes out Iroh.
Okay.
Okay. It's the Obi-Wan thing.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan only has one power. Iroh only has one power. Dumbledore has like infinity powers.
But Iroh definitely, kind of with your Obi-Wan argument, better mentor, cares more, loves Zuko.
Iroh is the better teacher.
Yeah.
100%. Dumbledore's not a good teacher. I'm sorry. He's not. And he's kind of a terrible planner.
Yeah, he is. Really, he's terrible. A terrible planner.
Iroh and Obi-Wan are really good planners.
Dumbledore, too, he like attracts all these people to him that are like massive dicks.
Well, Dumbledore.
Even his like boyfriend is like a dick. Yeah.
Dumbledore does this thing several times where he's like, oh, I think it'll do. I'll do this because it'll be all right. And it's never all right. Ever.
And he just keeps failing upward.
Well, I kind of think we're going to see that in Fantastic Beasts as well.
That'd be interesting.
Like something with Newt is going to be like, well, I would have told you this, but I thought you'd be okay. And it'd be like, well, no, because you didn't tell me this. The world's exploding.
Yeah.
Aang, the Avatar.
Like full-fledged Avatar.
Yeah.
Accepted his powers, all that.
I mean, I think he takes Dumbledore down like a chump.
I would pay to watch that. That'd be cool.
Aang and full, any of the Avatar, even Korra, full, when you're full on Avatar,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of impossible to beat.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost Superman levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Yeah, Aang takes him out.
Cool.
You know, here's an interesting thing. There's a magic user that you didn't, I know you went mentors.
Yeah.
There is a magic user that I want to ask you about.
Okay, let's go.
Dumbledore versus John Constantine, who, by the way, was a mentor to Timothy Hunter, who is in the Books of Magic, who was a cipher for Harry Potter.
You're right, definitely. I haven't read Books of Magic, so that's probably...
Book. By the way, anybody out there, you haven't read Books of Magic, it's a great Neil Gaiman story, and once you read it, you're going to be like, and this book was published in 1989,
mm-hmm.
10 years before Harry Potter, you're going to be like, oh, J.K. Rowling read the Books of Magic and pilfered a lot of it.
Lord of the Rings is the same way. I will say that... Because this is a Dumbledore-centric podcast, I'm going to think about John in the same sense that I'm in the sense of the Harry Potter world. He's mostly a dark magic user.
John, 100%.
And Dumbledore can take on any dark magic wielder, and he's the only person that Voldemort was ever afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that probably gives him the upper hand, but I do think that John could flirt his way out of it. And I think if John got the drop on him, because Dumbledore's an old man and he's kind of a dotty old man, you know, like he's like sort of distracted and half there and thinking about phoenixes and stuff. Like, I think John could get the upper hand, but I think Dumbledore would defeat him in the end.
See, I think Constantine takes him down like a chomp.
Do you really? You think he just summons a demon and is like,
John cheats.
That's true.
John,
I think,
cheats.
Albus probably cheats, but not as viciously as John cheats.
John cheats so... Yeah, John would, like, teleport him to hell, and then he's done.
But yeah, I think John could, like, kiss his way out of it.
Oh, I think that would be part of John's strategy, because John does a big thing. It's a big thing in Hellblazer where he tries to figure out who he's going to fight,
mm-hmm.
and he tries to, like, encounter them when they don't know that he's Constantine.
Yeah.
And so, like, so imagine a scene where John Constantine comes into Hogsmeade Pub and gets Albus drunk. Then Albus realizes who he is because he tries to kiss him.
Yeah.
They get into the fight, but because Albus is drunk, Constantine basically wins.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
And by the way, before you go crazy, Constantine is a bisexual in continuity, so we're not stretching the truth here.
Yeah, not even a little. And if you don't think so, I'm sad for you. So cool.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. He takes out Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nah. That's the restrictions of the world, though. I didn't ask you which one you liked better. I asked you who I thought would win.
Let me ask you this. Who's the better Dumbledore actor, Richard Harris or Michael Gambon?
Oh, Richard Harris. Like,
even though Richard Harris was near death in the second movie?
Okay, that's the really... I think I said this at the top. I'm not a fan of the Harry Potter movies.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Harris's Dumbledore in that first movie...
Really good.
...is perfection. It's like... The adult casting in those movies is on point.
They nail it.
The very sad part about the second movie is you can sort of tell he's on his way out.
Because he's very whispery.
And for me, it adds an interesting sad quality to Dumbledore, who we also know is at the end of his life. But it's really just in a metatextual way, just really sort of
it's
tragic.
It's tough to watch.
That movie's also a really terrible adaptation. So, like, just don't watch it. Michael Gambon, to his credit, is making a very strong choice to be different.
Yeah.
He's not copying Richard Harris, which I think if you're coming in to play a role that is iconic before you even get to it and then has an iconic performance on top of that is the right thing to do. But he is like your aggro drunk uncle at the Christmas party, Albus Dumbledore. And that's not what I want from that character. His Dumbledore, though, to his credit, is the Dumbledore that would throw Harry to the wolves to save the world in the final book.
100%.
So,
and Richard Harris is the Dumbledore that loves him.
That loves him, yeah. So,
and that might be a little bit of why I'm reading into that. I don't think Dumbledore loves him.
It could be.
Is Michael Gambon.
And so I think Michael Gambon is doing great things. I think he's made a strong choice. I don't think he's doing a bad job. It's not what I want from Dumbledore. I just want like Richard Harris in the 20 minutes of the first movie. You know, and I understand why Ian McKellen never took the role, but like,
was he offered it?
I think 5 times.
Oh.
And he was like, I don't want it. I don't want
Gandalf,
it. They offered it to him. I think to come back like for something else as well, like outside of the original franchise of movies.
Oh, you mean they to have just a Dumbledore movie?
I think
like
it was
Ian McKellen?
I think it was a voiceover or something that they offered him. But like, I know outside of the original set of movies,
crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's turned it down many times.
He's in the right though.
He is in the right, but he would have been so wonderful because the great thing about
it would have just been Gandalf though.
I know, but the great thing about his Gandalf, even in the Hobbit movies, which are terrible, is
he's the best part.
He loves Bilbo and he loves those characters, and even when he's crazy and he abandons them for no reason, like. He knows that they're going to be okay and that he's going to send someone back to protect them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
It's Richard Harris.
All right, guys. That's it for Geek History Lesson Extra. Thank you all for your support. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Podcastio Overiosio.